flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, again, I want to be very clear on what we're looking at here. So dial back to verse 18, if you will. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. So how do I know if somebody is purely of the flesh? These things will be there. All right, this is not saying under any circumstances that anyone who professes to be saved, who has done these things, is not saved. What it is saying, that you lose your salvation. Let me say this properly, that if you do these things, you lose your salvation. That's not what it says. What it says is that it is most likely that the person committing these things is not saved. Right? So we'll get people all the time, yes, I trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, yet they are guilty of these things. Anyone will do. It is enough to call into question. There was a man I was having a conversation with, and this was back in my college years. He was in my dorm. He was my dorm mate, and he sat there. He says, well, we were talking about somebody who's having a hard time, you know, with their Christian walk. He goes, well, we could always do what other Baptists do and just question their salvation. And he laughed. And I didn't laugh, because there is fruit that we grow. We either grow this kind of fruit, or we grow the fruit of the Spirit that we'll be talking about here in a little bit. A life that is producing bad things, most likely, and I'm going to give a little wiggle room there by saying most likely, does not have the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart. They are not following after the Holy Spirit. Now, is it possible for a saved person to commit one of these things? Absolutely. However, if this is what is being made manifest in their flesh, you got to check your walk. It starts off by, number one, checking your salvation. Number two, acknowledging that you have walked aside long enough. There are some things that doesn't seem like a very big deal, but in God's eyes are a big deal. We looked at the first four of these in this list last week. I'd like to pick up on number five, strife. It is very easy for anybody to fall into strife. But strife is something, it's a fire you've got to keep burning, keep going. Right? If you're going to have strife with somebody, like, for instance, let's take something very innocuous. I'm walking down the street. I bump into a guy. What's the proper response to accidentally bumping into somebody? Pardon me. I'm so very sorry. I didn't mean to hit you. Are you all right? All right, depending on how big the hit was. If I brush your shoulder, oh, sorry, man, I'll keep walking. Right? Some folks, they run into me, they'll pretty near get knocked over. So, hey, oh, I'm sorry. Are you okay? Oh, good. Are you good? Good. I'm so sorry. You have a good day, and I have a good day. And we go on. No. Strife. Watch where you're going, pal. Strife. And then they say a thing, and I say a thing, and it escalates. Had to sit down with a relative of mine just recently. You see what you said? Well, yeah, but I was angry. And you see how that made them angry? Yes. And you see now that's why you guys are fighting. Well, but I was angry. Can I tell you this? Just because you got a flamethrower don't mean you need to use a flamethrower, right? Just because you've got big fists don't mean you need to use big fists. Just because you got a temper don't mean you need to use your temper. And who are you to make decisions based on having anger? We are to be peaceful, not doormats, not passive, not people who take and consume abuse. Yes, we are to turn the right cheek or turn the other cheek, but I tell you what, I've only got two of them. I'm not going to sit there in a boxing match with my hands down. I will leave. I'll walk away while you handle your strife, while you handle your anger. I'll give you the forgiveness and I'll walk away. But you'll get that second cheek, but I'm not going to sit there and allow myself to be continuously abused either. We have options to take care of strife. Soft words, easy answers. Right? We look at the world stage right now. So we start off with something very small, moved up to interpersonal conflicts. Now let's look at what we've got in a regional conflict, right? NATO is discussing right now whether or not to declare war on Russia. Why? Because we ain't got good heads on our shoulders to talk, right? What we got to do? We got to show, well, I'm strong, I'm big, I'm smart, right? We've got a conflict between politicians up there in the Capitol where they're debating and fighting and cutting each other off and acting like a bunch of children. Every presidential election, well, the last two or three presidential elections we've had, every single last one of them have looked more like a Jerry Springer episode than two intellectuals discussing solutions, doesn't it? Doesn't that bother you? I feel like I'm being pandered to. I feel like I ought to be sitting there in the middle of the day having called out of work sick, watching some nonsense on the TV. That's what it feels like, right? It is the trashiest thing on earth to see our politicians discuss. So strife has never done any good, right? Well, it certainly makes me feel good. Well, let's check in later when your strife has run off everybody in your life. Let's check in later when your need for strife has gotten you arrested. Right? Oh, but if I don't stay angry at them and I don't keep saying what I want to say about them, that gets them off. And they get, I mean, they why should they get off the hook on this? They ought to be. I mean, vengeance belongs to the Lord, don't it? And whose sense of justice do we rely on? We are told to forgive others as we would have the Lord forgive us. As a matter of fact, that is a very conditional thing God gave us. He will forgive us as we forgive others. So what is the purpose of strife other than a moral or a fake moral justification for verbal or physical violence? There's no reason for it. Get over it. What about seditions? Sedition would be any kind of undermining of authority. All right, this is how seditions look in a church. Well, that's what the pastor said. That's what we agreed upon. But this is what I'm going to do. Well, no, hold on. No way would anybody mean it like that. Oh, you don't have to mean it in order to do it. Right? I have to mean it in order to do it. There was a little boy. He was excited. He got a fish tank. And he understood. Mom said, if you're going to have a fish tank, you need to clean that fish tank on a regular basis. And the boy says, oh, don't worry, Mom. I'm going to clean the fish tank. I'm going to feed the fish. Don't worry. Well, Mom came in. He was feeding the fish little leftovers of his cheeseburger. Did he mean to hurt the fish? No. But don't worry, the fish was all right. Mom explained to him about the proper food. You only got to feed him the flaky food. Just because you love cheeseburgers doesn't mean the fish will love cheeseburgers. Then he goes one day, he decides he's going to clean the tank. He sees that little algae film starting, and he read in his book, he got to clean that. So he sits there, he gets some Dawn dish soap, squirts it in the tank, just starts wiping down those walls like mommy clean stuff. Those fish are still in there, and the fish didn't survive. Did he mean it? No, but by simple action and behavior, and by developing a pattern of that behavior, we can undermine certain authority. Hey, this is what should be done. And then, of course, it does get to the uglier forms, right? There's the accidental, then there is the purposeful. Hey, you know, I distinctly remember in my teenage years, a man who claimed to be a called man of God took me aside as a member of Flat Rock Church and said, hey, listen, doesn't the pastor look tired? Hey, doesn't the pastor look bothered? Hey, don't you think that things would be a whole lot better if perhaps he wasn't the pastor anymore? Someone like me was the pastor, and you could take this brand new role in the church if only I was the pastor. And it was pretty much... that's pretty much the script of what he said. I'm condensing it a little bit, but those were roughly the words, right? Very brazen. And I said, well, you know what I think we ought to do? And he goes, yeah, I think we ought to go talk to the pastor and see what he thinks about this. That's what I think. I love this. People don't bring gossip to me. Less people who know me don't bring gossip to me. You know, I had somebody at the conference come up to me. Well, I'm sure you've heard that this has happened and that's happened. Oh no, I had no idea. Why? Because I live a life of peace. People don't bring stuff to my door. Because why don't we come on over and let's see what they got to say. You know, I ask questions to try to figure stuff out, see what's going on. Is there a thing here I got to get involved in? Is there a thing here I got to step into? Once I get to the point where there's a thing I got to step into, I'll step into it. And people are like, whoa, you can't tell him nothing. He just goes right to the person. And so they don't tell me nothing. I love it. It's peaceful. It's wonderful. Right? But there's that little, hey, what do you think about? Wouldn't it be better? I like things in the light. Don't you like things in the light? I like cleaning things up in the light, too. Don't you like cleaning things up in the light? The shadowy darkness thing, it can be a bit of a burden. And I've seen that in churches. You know, I visited one, and they asked me to come preach for them. And I was there, and I saw it. You know, just the pride and the excitement that they had. And it was weird to say the word excitement, but that's what it was. To just be able to sit there and say, this is how we ran the last one off. I was like, well, you have a good day. You're not ready for one yet. Maybe the Lord will bring you through some fire, but you've got a seditious heart. To me, if there is a problem, let us talk about the problem. If there is something that needs to be solved, let's solve it. Let's not whisper at the back of our hands. The back of my hand doesn't do a whole lot of good when I talk to it. You know what I mean? It don't do nothing. What I need is some face-to-face. What I need is some respect there. And, of course, as the Bible says, we need to have respect for those that have the watch care over us. You know, it is very important in that case, no matter what situation that is. And of course, we can see that in the home as well. The kids don't like what dad has to say, or they don't like what mom and dad have to say. They don't like the fact that they got grounded, blah, 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 blah. And sometimes the wife's got some things to say about the husband. And hey, I'll even say this. Sometimes the husband's got some things to say about the wife. What is it? It's a seditious spirit. It is gossipy. It is undercover strife. Let's look at this next word, heresies. Heresy is anything that denies or changes biblical absolutes. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, you better get in the book. Well, I've always thought, whoa, hold on, get in the book. Because I tell you what, of all the religions out there, I am glad that the Lord saved me and brought me into a New Testament church for the sake that I am not only encouraged, but I've got the ability to check up on what that fellow is saying up there. And as I sit there and I go through and I'll listen to sermons, or you turn on Christian radio and there ain't much on there. It's like finding a Christian bookstore nowadays. There ain't much good on there. There's a lot of Christ-centered things, but not a lot of real Christian things anymore. But how do I know if that's heresy? You got the book. Well, brother, I ain't all that intelligent. I have a hard time. I don't believe that about you. I don't. I think that is something that we say as an excuse. I think most people out there, with very few exceptions, have the ability to read and understand the Word of God if they are saved. God does not just call us without enabling us. He calls us and enables us. Some of us are going to move faster than others, but that speaks nothing to common understanding or intelligence regarding the Word of God. God supplies your need when it comes down to the ability to learn His Word. All right, so we've got that responsibility, so therefore we've got no right to be guilty of any heresy. Just makes no sense whatsoever for us to get involved in that. Some of these new versions, you want to know why we're so against those new versions? Because they either limit, remove, or change certain doctrine. And many people today sit there and say, well, yes, it is understood that they have reduced the communication about the blood of Christ. They have reduced the role of Jesus Christ. It doesn't come straight out anymore and say that He is the Son of God. However, it is a easier to understand translation. Basically, what you're telling me is that it is a cartoon masking as an educational thing that's getting it all wrong, but because it is a cartoon, it is better because more people can understand it. Telling me that somebody can better understand heresy does nothing for me. I'm not excited by that. I'm not okay with that. I would much rather, as a pastor, spend more time educating on the minute details of that scripture than for me to ignore or fall into a heretical book to try to teach it so people would be on the same wavelength. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't make sense to me to fall into heresy or to be your bedfellows with heresy when the proper word is sitting right here. Now, what about envyings? Envyings. Oh, I wish I had that. Oh, man, I tell you what, wouldn't that be nice? You know, envying also has the idea of wishing ill or having some malice in the desire for things. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've walked up to people and they've had things that go, hey, that's pretty cool. What is that? Oh, this is it. And I got it over here and it helps me do this, that, with the whatever. It's a tool. It helps me work on this or that. All right. You go to the store and what do? You pick it up. That ain't envying. That's marketing. You know, oh, yeah, that's a pretty nice thing. I'll go get me one of those. You know, somebody shows you your car and you're up to go get a new car and you're like, okay, well, what kind of car? So you slip into theirs with them and they're like, oh, yeah, this is what this does and this is how the engine goes and miles per gallon. And you go, all right, you go out there and you get you one, but you get you one in your favorite color car. And you, all right, that's not envying. But when you're sitting there going, oh. You know, I'll just share this with you. You know, my family on both sides has a really bad habit with this envying, especially when somebody passes. Pray for my dad's family. My uncle passed away yesterday peacefully. We removed the breathing tube, took him off of life support, and he passed about an hour later. But my family has already begun to do what my family has been prone to do. Well, he's got mamma and papa's this, that, and the other. And I can't live without mamma and papa's this, that, and the other. You know, I had to tell one relative yesterday, I said, listen, I go, that thing's been in storage for 10 years. When we open up that storage unit, we go to get that item. If we can track it down, if we can find it, if we can get it to you, your mom and dad ain't going to be in it. Your mom and dad ain't in the china set. Your mom and dad ain't going to be in the dining room set. Your mom and dad ain't going to be in the couches. They ain't going to be in the Amish bed furniture that they owned. They ain't in it. I go, it's been sitting in some kind of storage space or in his room or whatever for the last decade since he passed. And I tell you what, it gets ugly. Many of you know what I'm talking about. It gets ugly over stuff. They get mad about stuff. You know, my personal opinion is this. You know, what makes a family is blood and connection. And it's really bad when you let your blood boil and you lose the connections that really matter. Moth and rust will take everything else, but we got to throw away the thing that makes us family. And I ain't willing to throw away the stuff that makes me family in order to get the stuff. You know what I mean? Literally had somebody sit there. They went crazy and bonkers over an old antique, you know, those little knick-knack cabinets everybody has. Went bonkers over it. Didn't get it. Shattered the glass. Broke into the house, shattered the glass so nobody could have it. The family stopped talking to each other for 5-6 years on my mom's side over this cabinet. Cost $75 to get the glass put back in it. Cost even less because somebody had a truck to move it. You know what I'm talking about? Nothing. These things are nothing. Want to know where it is right now? Me too. I got no idea because it's a cabinet. I don't care. But some people are willing to go to blows over that. Why? Envyings. I need that. Have that. Look at what they have. You see, they've got this life and they've got it all together. Maybe it's not even stuff. Maybe it's just a situation somebody is in. Guess what? There's hardship in that situation and probably as much hardship as there is in your situation. Grass ain't always greener on the other side of the fence, right? You might hop over to that side and find that on that side of the fence is where they keep the bull. You don't know. All right, yeah, the grass is beautiful, but you're going to have to run for your life now. All right, so we can't be sitting there falling into envyings. It will literally eat up your spirit. It will eat up and beat up your spirit to the point to where you are just miserable. Right? We got to make choices, right? And envy is not something you want to have growing in your life. Now, the other one here, not many of us have fallen into this, at least I hope not, murders. murders. Oh, brother, we would never. I don't think Cain thought too much about murder, do you? I don't think he's, you know what I think he did? I think he got caught up in his envying. He got caught up in his strife. And he got caught up in some of these other things, these emulations. He got caught up in wrath. He got caught up in some of these things. And what was the next conclusion? Murder. You play with one element, you slide down to the others. You understand? Well, I would never be the kind of person yelling or screaming at somebody at the counter over there at the Kroger. I would never do that. I would never sit there and holler at a worker over some policies that the corporate made. I would never do that. But you start falling into strife. You start falling into these, into wrath. You start practicing wrath. And guess what's going to happen? You'll be on a YouTube video yelling and screaming about something dumb. How dare you be out of chocolate bars with almonds in them? You know, you'll be losing your mind over some ridiculous stuff. Why? Because you participated in small things. And it's important for us never to see a warning in the Bible, like warning against murders, and take it lightly. You are a creature of flesh. It is in all of us to do both good and evil, correct? It is within man to be capable of both. So never, never sit there and say, I'm fine. You need to do the work. You need to make sure that you're growing the proper fruit, or else the wrong kind of fruit will grow. If I go out to my yard and I dig out a spot and we get the right soil in there and we get everything prepared, but we never plant the good stuff and we never weed out the bad stuff, what am I going to have a raised flower garden of? Weeds, right? The weeds will take over whatever I did plant if I planted anything at all. So in the process of not growing the right thing, the wrong thing grows. And then what happens? Eventually, you've got a massive problem. The whole thing is overrun. You've got things living in there now. It's a mess. If you are not actively trying to grow the fruit of the Spirit, do not be surprised when some of the more awful things in this list show up, like drunkenness. Drunkenness. Most people are not drinkers before they take their first drink. Right now, you might not be a drinker. Some of you, maybe it's been quite some time since you've had an alcoholic beverage. Praise the Lord. You know, you're not the person who's never had one, but you're the person who used to. Well, praise the Lord. You know the difference between you not doing it and you doing it? Stopping off at the store on the way home. Putting it up to your lips. That's it. Without the Lord and without His direction, you keeping your focus on Him, the only distance between you and that is your own desire. You got to keep the flesh mortified, or things like that will come. Now, what happens after we've developed a little bit of drunkenness in us? Well, we fall into the next word, revelings. Revelings. These are insane actions. This is where either the drink or something has so affected your ability to think that it just atrociously bad behavior takes over. I can't remember. Oh, no, I do remember that, but I don't remember the guy's name. They were interviewing one of the leaders down there in Chicago. I think it was the mayor. And I believe it was the mayor, but what he said was just because what we're seeing is some young people behaving in a silly manner. They made some silly decisions. Now, are you paying attention to what's going on in Chicago right now? They have hundreds of people ransacking and looting and rioting, right? And one of the leaders of the city calls it silliness. Silliness. Now, is that silliness? No, that's vandalism. At this particular point, as people are getting hurt in the street, for lack of a better phrase, it's a riot. It's a riot. Right, I would even say terrorism to some extent. If now that everybody's afraid to go down there and around there, it is not a small band of youngsters. It is rioting. It is bad behavior. Sometimes you don't need alcohol, marijuana, or any kind of a drug to get your mind in a bad place. Sometimes what you need is to be drunk on social media influence, drunk on peer pressure. That mob mentality is a real deal, right? When you get around a bunch of bad characters and you're all together and people start doing stuff, it is very easy to fall into temptation and do terrible things. So reveling's another thing we ought to stay away from. We were sitting around telling stories at my uncle's bedside yesterday, and one of the things that would come up is that side of the family, they're drinkers. And sometimes they would mix such behavior with fireworks. And we were telling some of the stories of what happened. One time my uncle, he got a bunch of those, go to the grocery store, you get those big old boxes of mixed fireworks. Well, we bought a whole ton of those. You know, Mama and Papa put some money in, everybody put some money in, we just bought a whole bunch of them. And we were lighting them off. But somehow two or three of those boxes of filled, got mixed in with the empty boxes. My uncle reached down, grabbed the set of empty boxes, threw them into the fire. And the next 30 to 45 seconds was pure chaos, right? Chaos is a horrible thing. Not having a sober mind can lead to terrible things. And then you are in the worst state of mind as bad things begin to happen. If something chaotic and horrible is about to happen, wouldn't you rather be in your right mind? I would. You want to know why? I know we talk a lot about school shootings, but terrorist events in bar settings are one of the more lethal. And the reason why is because everybody is so intoxicated and caught up in the reveling of the moment in the party that they can't think straight to get out. What was that? There was a fire down in Florida at a bar, and it was, I believe it was a gay bar, claimed almost everybody who was in the place. Why? Because they were reveling when the fire started. Reveling when the fire started. When the Lord comes back, there will be a lot of reveling. When the world ends, there will be a lot of reveling too, and there ain't going to be nothing they're going to be able to do because their minds are so polluted and so messed up. Now let's turn the corner here a little bit and begin something a whole lot more comforting. So these are bad things. These are the bad fruit that will grow. These are the weeds that will grow without the proper gardening. But verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These are things that are never bad. These things never, there's no bad time to do these things. Of all those things above, there's always a bad time to do them. But for the fruit of the Spirit, it is always a welcome and bless. It's a welcome and it's a blessing in every situation you put it in. What is the very first fruit? You go back to when they asked Christ, what is the greatest commandment? What did he say? Love God. And the second one is love your neighbor. I mean, think about that. What is the first one in this list? Love. You know, you could do a whole lot more with love than you ever could with strife. You know, you could do a whole lot more with love than you could do with psychological manipulation. They write books and they teach classes how to get people to say yes when they don't want to, when they want to say no. But I tell you what, you want to do what's best for somebody. What do you inject into the situation? Love. Hey, listen, you know, you really ought to try this. You know, it's the person selling it. What do we do? No. You ever go into a car dealership saying, I'm buying a car right now? No, you don't, do you? You go in and you say, know, I'm going to poke around. I'm going to kick the tires a little bit. I ain't buying today. Mm-mm. Salesman goes, no, I'm going to talk you into buying today. We're going to buy today. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the game they play. But somebody who loves you, cares for you, comes up and they wrap their arm around you and they say, I'm really concerned about how you're doing right now. Or somebody, they would give you a recommendation and they, in a loving way. Why are we more trustworthy of them than the salesperson? Well, that's obvious, isn't it? Love. All right, now what is it that's going to overcome the desire for envyings and strife and wrath? What is it that helps us overcome that? Love. Right? I was wrestling around with Gideon, and Brother Dwayne, I owe you for this. Somebody taught Gideon to grab Daddy's beard. And he decided to do this just as I was picking him up and throwing him onto the couch. So he's mid-fall. And as I've got him up, he's got this big smile on his face. I think it's because he's having fun. The truth is he had a plan. The moment my hands came off of him, took me down with him. If a stranger on the street did that to me, not okay. But I laughed my head off. I did, man. And he was so proud, too. So proud of himself. What's the difference between a guy on the street doing that to me and my son doing that to me? Love. Cures your envying, your strife, your wrath. Turns what could be a very violent situation into a very loving, fun memory that we'll have for the rest of our lives, where he'll sit there and still be coming up to me going, I'll grab your beard again, you know. Of course, only in the fun wrestling times. He respects his daddy when he needs to respect his daddy. But when we're having fun, trash talk like no other. But what's the difference? Love. Well, I don't want to forgive that person. I don't see why they deserve to be forgiven. God loved you when you were unforgivable. And because you love him and you want a good sense of peace in your heart, you'll forgive that person too. Love. I'm wondering if we're going to get along. You decide to choose love and you're going to get along with just about anybody. That's the secret, by the way. Sincerity and love. It's meeting the greatest and deepest needs of another. And of course, we know that there are degrees of love, right? In Greek, there was multiple different words for love, right? There was the eros kind of love. That is a husband and a wife kind of love. There's the phileos kind of love. That's a brotherly love. You know, I spent some time yesterday with my brother, and I tell you what, we get a little rowdy. And we'll just kind of pick on each other. My poor brother, he, how do I put this? I have a very strong hairline. Every year my hair gets thicker. Every year his hair gets less. And he made a comment because my hair at the time, after the whole day in the hospital, was starting to come undone. And I just kind of look over him. I go, well, better undone than gone. Poor kid, he's got a bald spot here, and he's got a full-on advance to the rear up here. You know what I mean? Like, it is not, it's not a receding hairline, it's a retreating hairline. Literally to the point to where we're abandoning ship is what we're doing. And he's not, you know what I'm saying? Some of you, you go that way, and you're like, that's it. He is hanging on. And, like, it's worse than a comb-over. It is just two patches trying to meet up in the middle. Bless his heart. We went back and forth. You know, he made fun of my beard. I made fun of his. It was a good time. We had fun. But that's a phileos kind of love. He's hurting. I'm hurting. And that is how we communicate to each other. I love you and you're a little bit ugly. That's how we talk to each other, you know. It was very comforting for both of us to take that moment. And again, for those of you that have hair or lack hair, I wasn't making fun of either one of you. Again, I still believe that what you got is what you got. And that's wonderful. I look at that. But no, it's that phileo love. There's other kind of love. There's a kind of love like you'd have for your favorite pair of shoes or T-shirt. Oh, man, I love that car. Some would even say that that's where animals fall in. But I think sometimes people develop a very familial kind of love for their dog. You know, I think I love my dog more than I do some people. But it, you know, falls into those lines. But no matter what, we got to interject love into that situation. If you can interject sincere love into every situation you're in, you're going to have better situations. You're going to have better relationships. It is a decision we make multiple times a day. Am I going to be selfish and harsh, or am I going to be loving? Am I going to show concern for their desires and for their needs? What's the next one? Joy. The passion, excited by the acquisition or expectation of good, or just an overall seeming of joy and peace. You know, yesterday I sat there at his bedside. It was a very sad time. But in my heart, There was still joy over my salvation. There was joy in seeing family again. There was joy in knowing that as I sat there, the Lord was with me. There was joy. Now, does that mean I'm sitting there? No, the joy that God gives you lies deep in your heart, and it is always there that you can reach out to like a loved one and hold on to it and say, there is still joy. There is still wonderness to it. There's still a wonderfulness in my life that God has given me, and right now my face cannot show that joy. Right now that joy cannot get past the other emotions, but I can get to it, and I know that it's there, that at the end of these things, I will go home to glory. At the end of these things, my God is still with me. I do not sit here as one without any kind of hope or without a comforter. The comforter has come, and I have them, and I have him, and I can have joy. Joy. Again, it is not a, when we think of joy, we think of like a little puppy in a fenced off yard just wagging his tail and excited. No, there is a joy that comes from within when it comes from the Lord. You know, when you see wonderful things, when you get to see something fun or amazing, something anticipated, there is that outward joy. That is that excited joy. But deep inside every child of God, there is that joy that lies within our heart that we can always tap into. And we ought to show that joy, praising the Lord as things take place, showing that excitement. My uncle passed away. He had no life insurance. I was very concerned about what we were going to do for his burial. I was digging around, and I was looking at government programs, and I was trying to do this and trying to do that, but without an executor of the will and estate, it was very difficult. I had to get there was a lot of work I was doing yesterday and last couple of days. I've been sweating. I called up the funeral home guy. Did you know that the funeral home guy was his best friend? Best friend. Done a lot of work for him over the years. Done a lot of work for him he didn't necessarily always get fully paid for. So guess how the guy at the funeral home, his buddy, is going to make up for all the work that my uncle did for him. Oh, yeah. He's going to have a funeral service up at his funeral home. He's going to drive him down to Kentucky, where all my family is buried. See, at the Rollins, when we die, we go to a hill down in Kentucky. I'm not invited, so you guys are going to have to bury me somewhere up here. But, and I say you guys editorially. No, there's a family hill down there where all my aunts and uncles have a spot. And that's where they go, and we aren't going to be able to take him down there. They ain't going to be able to afford that. Mm-mm. He goes, I got the license, I can drive him. I cried. You ever just cry in public? I'm a grown man. I cried in public yesterday. You know what I'm saying? I didn't even care. Didn't care who was looking. My brother came up on me. What's wrong with you? You know? And I sat there. I said, I had to tell you something. And we got to go tell the family. And I let him know. And he cried. Because him and I are sitting there knowing we're walking out of here with a cardboard box. We're going to hear a cardboard box filled with ashes, and ain't nobody going to be happy about it. And I don't want that. As a child of God, I'm uncomfortable making that kind of a decision. It's not right. But there it is. So you know what my answer was to the family? Dennis knows what I've said. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Well, Matt, wasn't it this and that and that? Aren't there, it is really all these other elements? I go, yeah, all those elements that just came together on their own. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, because I was concerned. So you get that joy. When you got that joy, you bring that joy out and you show people that joy and who is the author and who is the owner of that joy that you have. And we'll finish right there. We'll dive into the rest of the fruit in the next week. But I tell you what, if I get to choose what grows in my yard, or in my life, or grows in my life, I'd want the fruit of the Spirit, wouldn't you? I was going somewhere else with that, but I'll just keep it plain. I'd rather the fruit of the Spirit than anything else. Why is it that people are so miserable? Even some children of God, when they get wrapped up in some of this wrong stuff, why are you so... I'm not talking about dealing with things, right? We deal with things. We got some hardships. We got some trials. They knock us on our ear for a little bit. I get that. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about a general grumpiness, a general malaise, a general just miserableness for no cause or reason. Why? Because we're growing the wrong things in our heart. If there ain't something externally beating on you and you look beat, you ain't growing the right kind of fruit. You know? And that is where we get a choice. What am I growing in the garden of my heart? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for what we see here in the Word. And Lord, I'm sure we could come up with 1,000 real-time illustrations for everything on these two lists. But Lord, I hope this, that we focus on the fruit of the Spirit. Because Lord, everything we see there, if we grow that, it'll keep the other stuff out of the garden. And Lord, you deserve a great garden in our hearts. We ought to be good stewards of this heart that you've given us. Lord, of the ability to live the Christian life as you've given us. And Lord, I just pray that we're living it right by you. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.